Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes. There comes a point in your life when you have to come to grips with yourself and say, just like Jacob, that I won't let go until you bless my soul. Now it took some time to get to this place in your life. And I don't know about you, but I refuse to allow God's presence to come in and leave without a blessing. My. And leave without a new anointing. You need to say this with me. Come on.
I'm glad you're here. I don't want to let you go. I don't want to let you go, no. I don't want to let you go. No, no.
Another Kingdom Builders International broadcast. This is your host tonight, Evangelist Hannah, and I thank God for everyone who has called in over the phone lines, and I give a shout out to all our internet listeners. Continue to listen to the music, and I will return. To God, we got to truly just hold on to our Father and say, I don't want to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. I can't let you go because I can't live without you. I'm nothing without you, Daddy. Glory to God. Glory to God. And tonight, Kingdom Builders International speaker is Bishop Odell McFarland. Glory be to God. Bishop for God Harbor for All Souls. Glory be to God. A general in the army of the Lord. Glory to God. And Bishop, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Evangelist. God bless you.
God bless you, man of God. God bless you. It's always a delight to eat at the table with you, with the words from the Lord. Glory to God. And Father God, I just plead the blood of Jesus over the phone lines, Lord God, over the internet, Father God. I thank you that your word will go forth tonight, unhindered and unchecked by any outside forces. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over the man of God. And I thank you that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen and glory to God. And at this time, Bishop, I yield the line to you.
God bless you, Evangelist Hannah. What a joy, what a privilege, what an opportunity to be on this line tonight. And we certainly thank God and give God the glory and honor for this invitation, because I never take it lightly when it comes to the opportunity of presenting the Word of the Living God. For this purpose has God called all of us, and all of us are responsible for feeding the lost, the bound, the shackled, those that have no hope, those that have lost their way, and those that have no way. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we thank you for Evangelist Hannah. We thank you for this opportunity to come tonight to present the word of the living God. For it is through your word that saved us. It's through your word that healed us. It's through your word that delivered us. It's through your word that the heavens and the earth are even now created. And Father, we just send the word of God tonight to everyone on this line, that the word of God will make the impact that needs to be made in the lives of your people. For those that may be on this line but are not born again, Father, we ask that you will send the word of the living God to destroy the yokes, remove the burdens, and allow the word of God to bring the light of Jesus into the hearts of dying men and women. Father, we thank you for the love that you have poured out on Calvary, that we might have this opportunity to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge, to hold back the judgment, that we might proclaim the good news in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank God for each and every one of you on the line, once again for Evangelist Hannah, who's doing a wonderful job for Jesus, promoting the gospel, shedding the good news. And tonight, God laid on my heart the word commitment. As a born-again believer, we have certain obligations, certain responsibilities. But the Lord let me know, commitment is one of the most important things in our walk with God. Commitment is a total surrender of the heart for something that will bring forth a difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. And I'd like to address commitment for souls. Commitment for souls. So often we have commitment for our agendas, such as ministry, our pastoralships, our missionary ships, those that are committed to positions in the church, the choir, the usher board. But tonight, I want to focus on souls. The Bible says, what would it profit a man, woman, boy, girl to gain the whole world and lose their souls? The Bible said that we are the light of the world, a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hid. We are the salt of the earth. And there is a responsibility that God has given us that means more than the whole world that he created in 6 days. And to me, that should sound an alarm in every heart and every born-again believer. And we're going to do an exegesis, which is a verse-by-verse account of 2 Corinthians, starting at the 11th chapter, starting at the first verse. And the reason I want to focus on this exegesis verse-by-verse is because of the serious documentation of the Apostle Paul and his love and commitment for souls. And I ask each and every one of you on this line, how committed are you for the lost, those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ? How much of that commitment will engulf your life to go beyond the comfort zone, to enter into a state of being where you literally sacrifice yourselves for a soul? Now, there are various commitments for souls. Witnessing to the lost should be a tremendous commitment. Also, after the soul is saved, there should be a commitment for discipleship. There should also be a commitment for our lifestyle that will represent the kingdom of God as we go to and fro on our jobs, in our community, wherever we go. The Bible says that we should be a light in darkness. Therefore, our commitment should be wherever I am seen, wherever I am heard, they can see Christ in my life. They can say, what must I do to be saved? And saints of God tonight, because we're living in such a crucial time, a time where there's wars in the Middle East that are directly pointing to the return of Jesus Christ. As you know, there's earthquakes and tsunamis. The world is waxing worse and worse with crime and financial crises and people losing homes and homelessness and all kinds of degradation and blasphemy against marriage. And what we have is a world that needs the church to be committed to souls. So tonight, as we do our exegesis, starting at 2 Corinthians 11 and 1, we're going to see the heart of the Apostle Paul. We're going to see so many things that he is committed to, seeing the lost, seeing those that are already saved, strengthened, protected, watched over. This was a man that his life was committed to the souls of God's people. So let us read, starting at the 2nd Corinthians 11th chapter and the first verse. And it says, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Now, reading the original text in the Greek, would to God was not a part of the original Greek transcript. So, in essence, it was added to, it would be the phrase Paul said, "Would ye bear with me?" And I like to do a commentary on how patient are you? How often do we not have patience with those that we're witnessing to, those that we desire to see their souls saved, even our relatives, our loved ones? It is so important that we recognize that we were sinners one day also. We needed someone to bear with us. We needed someone to have patience with us. Sometimes, saints of God, people just need someone to listen to them. Sometimes you don't even have to say a word. Their hearts are so heavy. The load is so heavy. And what they need is someone to vent. They need to release. They need to allow the hurt and the pain to be heard. And the Apostle Paul is saying, "Would you bear with me?" In other words, he had something on his heart that he needed to release because he was so in love with Jesus and he was so swallowed up in what God had called and chosen him to be the apostle of the Gentiles, to release the word of God, the revelation that God had given him. He just needed to have someone to bear with him. And one of the things I'd like to say tonight in this exegesis, let's ask God for patience. So many times, saints of God, we have opportunities to be an impact in someone's life, but we just don't have the patience to listen to them. We want to give them John 3:16. We want to preach a sermon. We want to give our own personal testimony. We want to let them know that Jesus saves, heals, and delivers. But we need to give them an opportunity to just unload, just pour their burdens out. Because if you really, really want to know the truth, you can talk and preach and sing. But if someone's so heavy, they really don't hear you. And so in your commitment, be committed to bear ye one another's burdens. Be committed to be ears and not mouth. Because God says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Many times we talk more than we need to, even in our prayer life. How often do we go into prayer and we don't give God an opportunity to say anything? We just, give me this and give me that, and Lord, I need this. And sometimes we need to shut our mouths and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Even in concerning souls, if we sometimes seek the face of God, God will just give us to just listen. Listening is a wonderful skill in commitment to souls. Let's go on to the second verse. He said, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Here, the Apostle Paul is speaking to converts, to those that he is discipling. And what he's saying that I'm jealous of you. In other words, I have committed myself to you, my service, and everything that I need to do in order to direct you to the one God, the true God, the living God. And whatever it takes, I'm willing to make that sacrifice. And when it says jealous over you, it means I don't want you to allow anything to distract you from that I have poured myself into. So often, saints of God, when we witness to someone or someone is saved, we don't take the time to continue to pour into their lives. We just say, well, thank God they're saved and sanctified. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. We send them to church. They get a good sermon on Sunday. But are you jealous to the extent that you want them to grow? You want them to develop? You want to be there for them in every situation? You don't want them to get back into the same lifestyle that they just left. So you are committed to spend time. How often is our time wasted on foolishness? But the Apostle Paul was saying that you have one husband, and I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, meaning I want to present you as a vessel that I poured my heart into. And when you stand in the presence of Almighty God and give an account of every word and deed, you will be a virgin, untouched by this sin-sick, beer-guzzling, dope addict, lottery-buying, AIDS-infested world. You see, the world will spend a lot of time on those that they have. They will spend money. They will spend all kinds of pleasure to continue to engraft, engulf, and swallow up the victims of the enemy. Well, saints, our commitment should be the same thing. We should be willing to spend the time sharing with them, encouraging them, and letting them know that the world has nothing to offer you. And the only thing that they can see is you and I. We are written epistles, read and known by all men. And they need to model our life. They need to see our lifestyle blessed, healed, delivered. They need to see us living what we preach. So in the third verse, it goes on to say, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Here we find a commitment to come against all false teachings that would corrupt the minds of those that are born again, those babes in Christ. We have the responsibility, saints, when we have poured our hearts out for the soul. We've given them the time. We've showed them the commitment of our lifestyle. Now, as babes, we have to protect them from false doctrines. There's all kinds of discouragement. Child, you don't have to live that type of life. You don't have to go to church two or three times a week. It doesn't take all of that. All of the things that are coming against people that are born again, they are babes in Christ. We cannot leave them holding a situation that they have no idea will eventually sap the strength, sap the word, sap the anointing out of them. So our commitment is to let them know that whatever is being told to you that is not drawing you closer to God, not allowing you to meditate on the word of God and strengthen your spirit, you need to stay away from that. You know, too often we say, well, you know, I want to mind my own business, and, you know, I don't want to get into somebody's business. But listen, that's a soul. That's a babe in Christ. And you need to stick with the word, rightly divided. So often we allow doctrines and traditions and customs and all kinds of social agendas to replace the word of God. And so we that are seasoned saints, we need a commitment to those that are babes in Christ to let them know if it's not according to the word of God, if it's not rightly divided, you need to stay away. How can you know something right from wrong when you're a baby? And that is our responsibility and our commitment. Let's go on to the next verse, which is the fourth verse. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So what Paul was concerned, that we might listen to nonsense such as, you don't have to understand the book of Revelation, that's too deep for you. Or you don't have to really study the word, you're not a minister. Or you don't have to go to Sunday school, that's for children. You see, we have to commit to allowing babes in Christ and those that we have been ministering to and praying for to realize it takes time to live for Christ. This is not a sprint. It is a marathon. It's a day-by-day process. And if we are honest with ourselves, the only reason we have come to the place that we are in today is because we have been consistent in our prayer life, consistent in studying the word of God, consistent in our fellowship with the saints of God and not failing to assemble ourselves in the house of the Lord. Saints of God, this message may seem fundamental, but when you look around the church and you see Satan sifting, especially babes in Christ, we should have a commitment to show and tell our newborn babes in Christ that this is a day-by-day process. And they should see our lifestyle. They should see our prayer life. They should see our attendance in Sunday school and Bible class. Because if they don't see us, they feel it's not important. So it's our responsibility and commitment. Because if they don't study the word of God, if they're not filtering the word of God into their spirit, the world will offer them another gospel. The world will tell them that it doesn't take all of this. The world will let them know as long as you have shaken the preacher's hand and you made a commitment, that's all you need to do, and put your dollar in the plate and continue to live your life as you did before you received Jesus Christ. Because people will tell you what they want you to know, and they won't tell you what the Bible wants you to know. And so as seasoned saints, we need to commit to sharing, encouraging, and strengthening our babes in Christ before the world puts their salt and pepper on it and seasons them for a watered-down, weak-down gospel that will allow them to live any lifestyle and still proclaim their born-again experience. Next, we find in the fifth verse, "For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." The Apostle Paul was saying, in other words, my speech may not be as eloquent as yours, but he didn't have to take a back seat, saints, to anyone in knowledge. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, didn't hold anything back. He didn't want anyone to be deceived. And so we need to be a committed, born-again believer of knowledge, knowledge of the word. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hide the word of God in your heart so you will not sin against thee. Without the knowledge of God's word hid down in our heart, we cannot be an asset to those that are born again. We cannot show and tell discipleship to those when we don't have the knowledge of the word to impart them. So we need to make a commitment. I'm going to seek the face of God. I'm going to hide his word in our heart so I will be in a position to impart, to encourage, to strengthen those that God sends in my direction. And don't be so caught up in the eloquency of speech. Don't be caught up in the things that tickle your ears but don't reach your soul. He did not hold back anything, and he had a lot to give because he was committed to studying the word of God and having the knowledge that he needed in order to build and strengthen the body of Christ. Let's go on to the next verse. It says, "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service." What Paul was saying here is, I am not in this thing just to take a collection. And we know it takes money and finances to support the kingdom of God. But we should be committed to let people know it's not just about money. It's about my concern, my love for you. I am in this for one purpose, and that's to see you strengthened, to see you built up, to see you growing and developing in the things of Almighty God. And so if I have to do it by coming out of my pocket, by getting gas in my car to come over to encourage you, to picking you up when you don't have a ride until you're in a position to get to church. Whatever it is, saints, when you come to church in an empty car, think about it. Is there someone that you could have picked up? Is it someone that you could have offered the opportunity that day to receive the word of God? It's so often we're so self-centered and all about ourselves. We need a commitment to let people know it's not about passing the plate. It's not about what am I going to get out of. It's not about us four no more, me, myself, and I. People need to see a committed soldier in the army of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul was letting them know. And in the ninth verse, he says, "And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself." What Paul was saying, he didn't want anyone to think he was in ministry of Jesus Christ just for the money. Just for the money. So not only should we be committed to make sacrifices, but we should be committed to let the world know, I am not in this for gain of finances. Oh, if you give, if you plant seed, you will receive a harvest. But there's so many that don't want to come to church. They want no parts of so-called religion because they don't see people in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so they stay as far away from the church as possible because it appears as if this is the main focus. But I have found, saints of God, when you are committed to discipleship, when you're committed to lost souls, when you are totally committed to seeing your brother and sister, especially the babes in Christ, grow and develop as they go forth each and every day of your life, you don't have to worry about the money. Because God's word says, what would it profit a man, woman, boy, girl to gain the whole world and lose his soul? He values what you're doing more than the creation of the world. And therefore, if you continue to commit yourself to souls, he will continue to provide you whatever you need, whether it's transportation, whether it's money, whether it's clothes, whether it's housing. If you are committed to the thing that he values more than the world he created, you don't have to worry about money. You don't have to beg for money. You don't have to put yourself in a position to look and appear as if this was your main agenda. The Apostle Paul goes on to say in the 10th verse, "As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the region of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth." Paul was saying God knew the love he had for his Christian brothers. And the truth was in him. Is the truth in us? Are we committed to allow the truth of God's word to override popularity, to override what people think about us, how they feel about us? It is time, saints of God, to be committed to truth. And the truth is No man can come to the Father except by Jesus Christ. And no man can come to Jesus except there be someone that's proclaiming the word of God. And the Apostle Paul said on one occasion, we are written epistles, read and known by all men. There are people on your jobs that you encounter each and every day. They will not pick up the Bible, but they will read your life. And they have to see the truth of God's word operating, functioning in your life. They have to recognize the love of God. Faith, hope, love. But the greatest of all of these is love. And love is action. Love is commitment. Love is going beyond the call of duty. And tonight, the word commitment was burning in my spirit, in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit. Because I know time is drawing nigh. I know that the church is sometimes nonchalant. They're laid back. They are self-centered at times. But we need to shake ourselves, and we need to recognize time is winding up. And the only reason I'm on this earth is because of souls. And everyone that God has in my circle of influence, I am responsible for making a commitment to live a life to represent the Christ that will allow them the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ, to grow, to develop, to be discipled. Then it goes on to say, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, that may be found even as we. You see, when someone comes along with a new doctrine and you have the truth, you should be quick to correct them. What he's saying is, this is something that has not been taught. This is something that is not rightly divided in the word. You didn't hear this from me. I took time. I took patience. I rightly divided the word. I gave you truth. And now someone is coming along telling you it doesn't take all of this. You don't have to pray. You don't have to fast. You don't have to commit yourself and consecrate yourself and dedicate yourself to representing the kingdom of God. That's not according to the word of God. The word of God said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind and all thy strength. And the second is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And so here again is a commitment to be quick and ready to expose the people that you love most, those that are born again, those that are not born again, but those that God is drawing. You need to be quick to tell them there's only one way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by him. How often do we hear various doctrines and people say, there's so many people teaching so many things, how can I know what is truth? The only way you can know what is truth is to allow the truth to get inside your heart and to stand on what God has given you as the truth. that will determine God's responsibility in backing you up. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, neither their seed begging bread. He said, call on me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things that you not know not of. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And by the stripes that were laid upon the Son of the living God, my only begotten Son, you are healed. You can try every doctrine that is outside the Word of God, and it will not stand the test of time. But when you put your trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, he watches over his Word to perform it. And I challenge each one of you to make a commitment. Let people see you trusting the Word of God. Let people see you standing on the Word of God. Let people see you obey the Word of God. Let people hear your words are based not on what people say or think, but based only on what thus saith the Lord. And they will see the manifestation of truth in operation. And they will desire and long for what you have. But there has to be a commitment. And as we close in the next few verses, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now here, this word transforming in the Greek, it should be disguised. A transformation means another form that is like the one form. But when you say disguise, that means you are the same individual, but you put on a disguise, a front, in order to appear as if you are someone that you're really not. And we have to be committed, saints of God, to discern evil from good, to have a spiritual eye for our babes in Christ, for those that are desiring to grow in God, and let them know it looks like a saint. But saints don't gossip. They don't backbite. Saints don't hate on one another. Saints don't accuse the brethren without a cause. And so there's a time and a place that we have to say firmly, you shall know them by their fruit. How you're not judging, but how do you know the tree is an apple tree? Because you see the apples on the tree. And when you say to your young brothers and sisters, every time you see that person, they're lying, they're a liar. They're stealing on the job, but they say they represent the kingdom of God, they're thieves. They're homemonging and fornicating. They're going from one man to another man, one woman to another woman. You have to have a commitment to let people know these things that are being done are not of God. They cannot represent the kingdom of God in order to see truth and know truth. You have to differentiate good from evil. Because if you don't, you lead and guide a newborn again believer into thinking that these things are acceptable in the eyes of God. We are his righteousness. We are made righteous through Jesus Christ. But through his righteousness, we represent the kingdom by yielding ourselves to those things that are in his word and allowing the Holy Ghost in us to live an acceptable, holy life through us. No, we don't have the ability in our flesh to live a saved and sanctified life, but he, the Holy Ghost in us, will live his life through us as we yield ourselves to him. So we have to be firm and committed to let people know that are seeking the face of God, that is not God. That is not the lifestyle that God wants us to live. You can call it judging. I call it recognizing the fruit that is on the tree. And we're about to close. It says, and in the 14th verse, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed. And that word, again, disguised himself into an angel of light. And the 15th verse says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed or disguised as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So here we see again, Satan will be disguised as an angel of light. He's going to be pretending to be like Jesus. And so that's why Paul was concerned about losing your spiritual virginity. What is that? That is being committed to share with those that are new babes in Christ, those that you're discipling, and even those that you are giving the message of salvation to. You just cannot expose your spirit to anyone or anything. The Bible says, know them that labor among you. The Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man. The Bible is very clear in distinguishing those that you should acquaint yourself with, those that have shown forth the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, versus people that you don't know, you have never actually seen them in terms of operating in the spirit realm and allowing people to minister to your spirit, lay hands on you, and not know their life. And so it's very important that we have a commitment to lead people to sound doctrine, lead people where the word of God is being ministered and preached and taught, lead people where love, commitment of souls is being demonstrated each and every day that we live. We should make sure that those that we're mentoring, those that we're discipling, are surrounded by those that are teaching truth and have sound doctrine. And tonight, I'd like to pray for each and every one on this line, that we make a commitment. First of all, a commitment for souls. Second of all, a commitment to disciple the souls. Thirdly, a commitment to live a life that represents the kingdom of God, that will stir those that we have ministered to, those that we have prayed for. And fourthly, committed to make sure that the times that we live in, people are not drawn into false doctrines. People are not given weak, watered down gospels that don't allow growth and development. We have that responsibility, even as born again believers, to make sure and be very sure that our anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be representatives of the kingdom of God, not just by words of mouth, but by action, commitment to show forth the love of God as we live a life that represents the kingdom of God. We will live a life that will reach out for the lost, for those that are born again, but those that are babes in Christ. Father, we desire a commitment that will go beyond our flesh, that will go beyond our feelings, that will go beyond those things that we desire to do that are not important where God's kingdom is concerned. Father, we desire a commitment that will not compromise with false doctrine. We desire a commitment that will go beyond every aspect of our popularity and how people feel and think about us, but a commitment for the truth. A commitment that even when we're talked about and laughed at and scorned, that we will stand up for truth, and that we will tell the truth even when we are rejected and cast down. In the name of Jesus, bless this radio audience. Bless our wonderful evangelist Hannah, who has made a commitment to make sure that souls hear the word of God. And you said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's back in your hands, Evangelist Hannah. God bless you.
God bless you also, Bishop.
God bless
you. If you are on the phone line, or if you over the internet, or if you're going to listen to this broadcast later, and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you trying to work it out yourself, and you know that God has been pulling on your heart, trying to draw you, harden not your heart. Surrender unto the Lord. And the word of God says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. So just say this prayer after me. Lord, I'm tired. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Live in the inside of me. Help me. Help me and open up to God. And if you said them words, you're saved. Jesus is rejoicing. The angels are rejoicing. We are rejoicing. That's what this is all about. Your soul coming to Christ so you can get nourished in the word. And I pray that you would be filled with the Spirit of God, overflowing in you with the evidence of speaking in tongues, your heavenly language, and that you would get into a Bible teaching church. Glory to God. And if you do not have a Bible and you need a Bible or MP3 player of the Bible and you accepted Christ, you can go to www.KingdomBuilderPlaza.org and let us know. We would love to send you a Bible. We would love to stand in your faith fight with you. Give us a prayer request. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for any soul that has cried out and committed their life to you today. You will strengthen them. They will grow and mature in you. Glory be to God. And again, I thank you, man of God, for coming forth. At this moment, we still have a few minutes. I'm going to open up the lines for prayer requests or comments. The lines are now open, so you can come forth. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hey, Evangelist, how you doing?
Praise the Lord, Prophetess Pam. All is well.
He is he is worthy to be praised. And I just want to encourage the man of God how God is so good, and this is what he's calling to be true disciples. And it's just about confirmation to my soul, because when God had me to open my house for prayer, every Saturday from 6 to 7, and he had me to take it to the streets where you have to be really committed to love on those who on drugs, love on those who is lost. And I mean, my soul cries out for them. I fast and I pray, and it's so much that he had took it to another level. Now he's sending me back to the streets, man of God, and know that I am committed. Know that he raised me up to do this thing, and I just need you to pray into my soul to give me the strength and more to follow, to be witness, to go out into the streets, to let the blood of Jesus' blood shed us on the street, not by a murderer's hand, but by the blood of the Lamb, the Messiah, the glory of God, and to go out here and love on them and speak the truth of God and don't, you know, sugarcoat it. I mean, you just spoke to my soul, and I needed to hear this. Because God is getting ready to take me places like, oh, my God, and I got to be able to go with confidence. And he has put me to do. He already trained me up. And you just brought confirmation to my soul, man of God. And I just thank you for that. I just need you to pray into my spirit as right now in Jesus' name.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, what a joy, what a privilege it is to know how much you love us. You love us so much you gave your son, who gave his life, who shed his blood. And Father, we lift up your servant right now, who desires to be a servant for the kingdom of Almighty God, one that will not compromise, one that will not take down, one that will lift up. And Father, I come against every discouragement and every force of hell that would come to distract her from doing the will of God, from allowing her the boldness to stand, and after she stood, to continue to stand in the name of Jesus. And Father, I come right now releasing a fresh and a new anointing upon her life, a boldness that will rise up in her. A boldness that will rise up in her and speak the truth and cry aloud and spare not and lift up her voice like a trumpet and let the light of Jesus radiate wherever she goes in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for her commitment, her desire, her longing to do the will of God. In Jesus'
thank you,
name.
Lord.
I tell you,
hallelujah.
You are blessed. You are highly favored.
Thank
and I'd say this, anyone on this line has to love Jesus to be on this line tonight. And you could be doing many things, but you're hungry. You're thirsty. You're in great desire. And you're special because you took the time to come on this line. And Evangelist Hannah, your blessings are far and above even what you can think or ask because of your commitment to share the word of God. You share it. You allow people the opportunity to grow and to develop. And woman of God, get ready for your harvest. Because it's going to be a great and a mighty harvest. Because what did I say? God values souls more than even the world he created.
Yes.
So I want you to know that because you came on this line with a heart's desire to do the will of God, God is getting ready to move in your life, young lady.
Hallelujah.
God
thank
bless
you.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory
bless
God.
You.
Thank
Lord
you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Bless if anyone you. Else want to come forth with a prayer request or
praise
comment,
the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Evangelist Harris, Miss Janae. Man
praise
of God.
Miss Janae.
Thank you, Jesus.
What a blessing. Commitment. That was truly a blessing to my mind, to my heart, and even in my spirit. Because, you know, man of God, if we can commit ourselves to anything and everything else, why can't we commit ourselves truly for the love of God and to God?
You're right.
You know, and this word is for the saints, not for the angst that you, you know, you talk about the baby. You know, you just touch my soul so deeply because you're talking about babes in Christ. You know, you're talking about all of us that are believers, but the babes in Christ. How long are we going to be a babe in Christ? How long are you going to stay to be a babe in Christ? You've been in church now for about 4 or 5 years. How long are you going to say you're still a babe in Christ? But if we can go and commit ourselves to a date, as you said, you know, you can go in and spend money here and there and get yourself ready for this one date. Why can't you do that for Christ? Why can't you go out God and love on God and go and dress up before him, but we can go to God and we can go any kind of way. Say, well, God said, come as you are. Yes, that come as you are because you don't have it, but you got, but you will go dress up for a man outside, but you will come to God in a raggedy way. Oh, a commitment. That word was right on time, man of God. Right on time. We spent all this time preparing ourselves for something that really don't make no difference.
Hallelujah.
My God, the one that matters. My God, the one that matters. How we change God. How we give God a
chance.
But my God, we'll go and we'll give our best to man. Our best to man. And man, turn around and he will break your heart. And you spend all your finances on it. And man have broke your heart. Oh, you know that word was just so on time. It was so on time. And I'm blessed, I'm filled. Because, you know, the word, when you get the word, you get full off the word. And I get full off the word, but my cup overfloweth. But your cup do not overflow for yourself to be so full and fat off of it. The reason for overflowing of a cup is because God give you just what you need. You got a full tank, but it overflows because so you can get that overflow to go and put it into somebody else. He give you more.
Hallelujah.
He will go out there and give to someone else. So my cup, even off of this word that I've gotten off of you tonight, oh, my Lord, is enough to go give to someone else. So I thank God. Man of God, I just plead the blood of Jesus all over you. You're in my heart, my prayer. You know I love you. You know I love you. And we're going to continue to walk by faith and not by our blinded sight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for those words.
Bishop, my cell phone won't work. I can't make phone calls or send out texts. So for the broadcast, I called one of my sisters at my church, Sister Tammy, and asked her to call Prophetess Pam and Miss Jenny because they're the only two people I could think of at that moment. And so God knew who needed to be on the line tonight. These are the
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. And I called Evangelist Ratliff to call people at your ministry. I'm like, God, my cell phone won't work. It worked for 2 days. I'm like, really? But that is not going to stop nothing. So I just thank God for putting both of them in my heart.
I was able
to reach out to them so they can call in to the broadcast tonight because it's truly some things for us to do. And Bishop just gave us something to marinate on.
Our commitment to
the souls. And as he was saying, and I'm just seeing some people in my vision that God has put in my life. And a young lady called me from Mississippi that just came out of homosexuality, and she called me, and I gave her the Black Talk information, and she said, I just wanted to talk to you. So I'm ministering to her, and I was like, glory to God. So I have to stay committed with that.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory.
Committed
glory.
To that.
Hallelujah.
That turn to me. Glory to God. And it's just so good that when God gives us something to do pertaining to a soul, anything else, we always get a blessing behind it. And it makes it spiritual or naturally. Because he's such a good God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Into the man of God, all that he poured out tonight to your people, God, every encouraging word, Father, to remind us of what we need to be committed to the babes in Christ, the new souls that's coming into the kingdom, God.
Oh, myself,
soul there, Lord God, the Holy Ghost filled door of the word lifestyle before them, God, in the name of Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
I bind every spirit of retaliation and backlash against the men of God in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that your warning angels is worn on his behalf right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that you will continue to supply every need for the men and for his ministry in the name of Jesus. I lift up God's power for all souls to you, Father. And thank you that it's covered in your blood, God. And the growth in the ministry, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, amen, and glory
amen. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And if you're on the line, if you're on the internet, tell someone about the broadcast. They can go on www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International and type in Bishop's name, and the broadcast will be online in the next 10 minutes, and you could, they can listen to it today, tomorrow. Tell somebody to log on and listen to the word of God. Glory to God. And also, Kingdom Builders International has intercessory prayer every Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m., and the number is 218-895-0280. Again, the number is 218-895-0280, and the code is the word PRAY, 7729. And also, I give a shout-out to the founder of Kingdom Builders International, Prophetess Teresa Docks, while she's in her travel. She ministered in Canada today. Glory to God. And I know that God used the woman of God. Glory be to God. And Bishop, I yield the line to you for any closing comments.
I just want to say I appreciate the opportunity. I thank God for each and every one of you. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, as we make the commitment for the souls, that God has given us opportunities to share and to protect and to just give of ourselves, there's going to be such an abundant blessing, because God values the soul more than the world he created. And so get ready. We're not doing it for those reasons, but you cannot stop the blessings of God when you make the commitment for souls that God has put into your life to strengthen, to encourage, to build up, and to protect. Thank you so much, Evangelist Hannah, and your ministry will only show forth what is really valued when you get to heaven. You will see how valuable this tool that you've used to promote the kingdom of Almighty God. You'll be blessed down here, but the real value you will see in heaven. Absolutely.
Glory to God. Bless you, man of God. I thank
God bless you
again.
You.
And I just cover you in the blood, and I thank God again for everyone that has called in, all the internet listeners. And Kingdom Builders International love you, but God loves you more. And you
Hallelujah.
All have, continue to have a blessed evening. And good night.
God bless.
Receive Elder Field Tara as he comes to say, dance, Lord.